Now, stay at the instruments. Where are the instrumentalists? All right. I want to read, first of all, and then I want us to sing something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he what? He understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. But first of all, I want to read to you a story, and then we'll sing. This is a story in the 24th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. Familiar to many of you? To others, it may not be at all familiar. 13th verse of Luke 24. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things that had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging one with another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and that he was, who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said unto them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. He went in to stay with them. It came about that when he had reclined at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, The Lord is really risen and has appeared to Simon. Now the subject that's been announced for this morning is a confused couple who got the answers. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a little bit confused. The clouds have closed in and you don't quite know and you can't quite understand. We all get like that. But some of us can sing and all of us can sing something beautiful. Let's stand and sing it. Something beautiful, something good.
Something beautiful.
of my life. Wasn't it Isaiah that said he giveth beauty for what? He giveth beauty for ashes. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion. He understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Sing it again. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion. He understood. All I had to offer him and strive, but he made something beautiful of my life. Thank you very much. Will you be seated? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I think that is exquisitely beautiful, don't you? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, and I know that most of you were, may remember that we were talking about the very first one to whom our Lord, risen from the dead, appeared. You recall who it was? Mary? Mary Magdalene. You remember that? And the Lord Jesus bestowed upon that dear woman the high, high honor of being the first witness that he was back from death and that he was alive again. Now, on that Easter Sunday, according to the scriptures, our Lord made no fewer than 5 appearances. I said 5 appearances on that one day. First of all, he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Secondly, he appeared to the women of Galilee, Mary Magdalene's friends who had come a little later to the tomb with the spices. He appeared to the women of Galilee and who worshipped him. And then number 3, the third appearance by our Lord was in the afternoon, I think, can't prove it, but I think so, in the afternoon he appeared to Peter. He gave an exclusive interview to Peter, whose eyes were red and whose heart was broken. The Lord appeared to Simon Peter privately and restored him after his disgraceful denials. That was the third appearance. And then the 4th appearance on that Easter Sunday was the story that we've read this morning from Luke chapter 24, the 2 on the way to Emmaus. And the 5th and last appearance of the Lord was in the upper room, where the whole company was gathered together, not just the apostles, but the whole company was gathered together behind closed doors, and the Lord appeared to them. We'll look at that perhaps next Sunday morning. But this morning, I want to think with you of those two, those two crushed and confused people, perhaps man and wife, who were trudging along the way back to their little home in the village of Emmaus. I'd like to join them this morning. I suggest that they were husband and wife. Can't prove it. We have the name of only one of them. His name was Cleopas. He was probably the man, perhaps the husband. They had turned their back upon Jerusalem. It was Easter Sunday evening, and they were heading for home. And I say again, they were crushed. They were devastated, dejected, and above all, hopelessly confused. And they were trudging along the way with their backs toward the holy city, and they were talking in an animated way. They were talking and talking, and they were retailing one to another their doubts and their perplexities, and as they walked, they talked. And Cleopas' wife said to him, "I'm so confused. I'm so sorry. I can't understand it. Cleopas, I can't understand what happened. We thought, you and I thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was what he claimed to be. Did you ever hear of anyone that talked so beautifully and used so many significant stories as he did? Did you ever hear anything like the parables that he told? Do you remember his claims? Do you remember he told us, we heard him say one day that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He said that he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of Man. He said he had come from heaven. He said that he had come down to reveal the Father and to bless men. And he said he was the Messiah. He said he was actually the Son of God." "Yes, but Cleopas said that's true. But not only did he say things, but how can we ever forget what he did? What he did? Wifey, do you remember the time we were with that crowd up on the banks of the Sea of Galilee? And he fed 5,000 men plus all of us women and children? You remember he fed us on 5 little loaves of bread that he got from a boy's lunch and a few little fishes? And he took those loaves and fishes and he broke them and he blessed them and he gave them to the disciples. And we all got our stomachs filled. We were hungry, we were tired, and every one of us got a free meal. And he did that miraculously. How did he do it? If he wasn't the Son of God, how did he do it?" "Oh, yes, honey. That's true. But you know, he did more than that. Do you remember the widow's son? Do you remember up there at the village of Nain, up there in Galilee? You remember that widow who was on her way to the cemetery to bury her only son?" "Yes, I do, honey. And something, I just can't believe it. The boy was almost buried. He was just going through the gates of the cemetery, and the Lord Jesus met that crowd, and he stopped the whole funeral procession. And he spoke a few words to that stiff, cold corpse lying there. And he said, 'Young man, I say unto thee, arise.' And the young man stood. And he's alive again. He's alive up there in Nain. He gave him back to his mother. He raised that boy from the dead. How come? Whatever is going on here?" "Yes. Yes, that's true. He raised the dead. But do you remember Bartimaeus? Do you remember that blind beggar down there by Jericho? What happened? When Jesus was passing by and the crowds were thronging him and following him, and that blind beggar sitting in his rags on the side of the road calling for bakshish, for a handout, for a dime, or whatever it was, the Lord stopped the whole procession as Bartimaeus cried out and said, 'Jesus, thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped the whole parade. And he said, 'Come on over here, I want to talk to you. What is it you want me to do?' And Bartimaeus said, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want to see.' And the Lord Jesus said, 'Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace.' And the man's eyes were open. And he's alive and well today, and he doesn't even wear glasses. He can see. I don't understand it. And then, that other occasion, when he stood by the grave of Lazarus. Lazarus, honey, wasn't only dead, but his body was undergoing the processes of decomposition. He'd been dead and buried 4 days. And this Jesus came into that village of Bethany, and he told them to roll away the stone, and he prayed, and the crowds watched, and Jesus spoke, and he said, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. They took the grave clothes off, and that brother of Mary and Martha is alive and well in Jerusalem, and everybody knows him. Now, if he is not the Son of God, how come he did all those works? I know. But the real problem is the fact, honey, that our rulers, these scribes and priests that we've got over us, they conspired against him. They hated him. They hated Jesus. They absolutely abhorred him. Sometimes he exposed them. Sometimes he embarrassed them. They were out to kill him. And these priests and these scribes and these self-important rulers of ours, they twisted the arm of Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, and they pressured him to bring an indictment against Jesus and reject him and put him on a cross. I can imagine Mrs. Cleopas saying, I give up. I don't understand it. And the greatest problem of all, honey, is that he allowed himself to die. If he could raise the dead, if he could feed the hungry, if he could open blind eyes, if he could do all those mighty miracles, and the winds and the seas even obeyed him, how come that he allowed himself to be taken outside the city of Jerusalem and hung up upon a cross between two criminals and die? Why didn't he do it? Why would he allow that? He isn't the Messiah. If he were the Messiah, he would never have allowed that to happen to him. I just don't know. I can't put it together. It's too much for me. I'm heartbroken. I was pinning my hopes upon this Jesus that he was for real. And now he's dead. And what do you make of these strange stories that have been circulating around town this morning, honey? Oh, you mean about the women? Yes, the women. Some of our women folk. They were out to the grave this morning and they've come back with the most fantastic stories you ever heard. They've been saying he's alive again. The stone's gone and the grave is empty. Angels have been there and he's alive again. My, am I ever confused. Good evening. A stranger drew near from behind them, and he said, may I walk with you? I'm going in the same direction. You people, said the stranger, you people seem to be very upset, is that the right word? Agitated? Yes, sir. Who isn't agitated? Who isn't upset? Sir, did you come from Jerusalem? Yes. And you've been in Jerusalem? Are you, sir, is it possible that you were unaware of the upheavals in Jerusalem in the past few weeks, in the past few days? You're not acquainted with that? The stranger said, what things? Tell me about them. Well, they said about Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody's talking about him. He was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed. We were his witnesses. We saw, we heard, and we listened, and we loved, and we trusted him. We hoped that he would be the Messiah. That's what he claimed. We hoped that he was going to deliver Israel and break the yoke of our Roman oppressors and give us to be an independent and happy people. We thought he was the Messiah. And now, so they killed him. They killed him. And he allowed himself to be gored to death, skewered to a cross, a gibbet of shame. And he died in the darkness. We're all of sixes and sevens, and we're all confused, and our friends have gone underground, and we're going home. We don't know what to think. And these stranger stories that have come from these women who've been circulating the yarn that he's alive from the dead and so on, but no one has seen him. No one has seen him. And then the stranger said to them, excuse me, friends, how foolish it is to not believe all that the prophets have spoken. What's that? How foolish to disbelieve all that the prophets have spoken. You know the Old Testament prophets. Oh, yes, they said we are acquainted with the Old Testament. Have you read it all? Yes, we think we've read it all. Ought not, said he, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? What's that again, sir? Wasn't it required that the Messiah should first suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? Do you remember that when our first parents in Eden's garden sinned against God, that they became painfully aware of their nakedness in his sight, and they made fig leaves to cover themselves and make themselves presentable to God? And God, who loved them, found them hiding, for they had made a getaway into the woods to hide from him. He found them, he loved them, he called them, and then he took some animals, and he slew those animals. And he took the skins of those animals, removed the fig leaves of their own manufacturing, and he put around them the skins of the animals. And that made them acceptable to God. And they received his blessing. But before they could receive his blessing, the animals had to die. So their acceptance was found in the by way of death of a substitute. Never thought of that. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we remember that story. Do you remember that of those two brothers, one was accepted by God and the other was rejected? Yes, wasn't it Abel that was accepted? That's right. Abel was accepted by God. Why did God accept Abel and reject Cain? Well, Cain offer the fruit of his own hands to God, the work of his own hands, and he piled his altar high with the works of his hands, and he said, as it were, as he stood back, see what I have done for God. But his brother Abel took a lamb, and he killed that lamb, and he offered that lamb to God. And he said, as it were, oh God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be on this altar. I deserve to take the knife. But lo, this little lamb takes my place. This little lamb takes my place. And God looked down on that lamb. And God saw another lamb. He saw a cross. He said, he saw one who was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Abel was accepted by way of the death of a substitute. Before Abel was accepted, the lamb died. You remember a little farther the story of the Exodus from Egypt? Oh, yes, they said, oh, yes, that's our great national holiday. We call it the Passover. That's right, the Passover. You remember the night, that night of all nights, when the destroying angel went through the land with his naked flaming sword, and the sentence of death was passed over the firstborn in every family, whether Egyptian or Israelite? Yes, we remember that. Do you remember that God made a provision by which they could escape that doom, yes. A lamb was to be taken, an unblemished lamb, and that lamb was to be slain at the evening hour, and the blood was to be poured into a basin, and then the father in Israel took a hyssop, like a brush, made a brush out of it and dipped it in the blood, and he put the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, and then gathered his family into the house where they ate the roasted lamb and prepared themselves for their exodus out of Egypt that night. You remember that? Yes. And they were delivered out of Egypt. That's right. We were
delivered out of Egypt that night, and Pharaoh's mighty power was broken, and we were liberated.
So before we were liberated, yes, the lamb had to die. Remember that? Suffering first, and then deliverance. And then do you remember King David? Oh, yes, our great, illustrious King David. Who could forget him? Do you remember that David's rejection preceded David's reign? Say that again.
Before David came to the throne and was acclaimed king, he was rejected.
Have you read Isaiah chapter 53 lately?
Yes, well, we're acquainted with it. We haven't read it lately
too much, but you remember in Isaiah chapter 53, that great prophecy of our great prophet Isaiah? Do you recall
that God said to the Messiah, concerning the Messiah, I will appoint him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. He shall be king.
He'll sit on my right hand.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we remember that. That's in Isaiah chapter 53.
The exalted one. The King, the Blesser of Men, that's our Messiah.
Do you remember, before that came the words, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He hath what? He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That was the Messiah. That was the Christ.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, before he could sit on the throne, he had to die on a cross. Clopas, did you hear that? His wife said, did you hear what the man is saying to us? Never thought of that. Ought not Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? And it says, Jesus, this unknown to them, unknown stranger, he opened to them the scriptures, and he explained in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they trudged along. It was a 7-mile walk. That would be at least 2 hours. 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And his wife says, oh, we're nearly home. Here we are. Sun is dipping. And the stranger said, well, it's nice to have met you. The Lord bless you. Thank you for letting me walk with you and explain things. And they said, well, you're not going farther, are you? Oh, yes. They said, you can't go. You've got to come in with us. The day is far spent. You're hungry. You're tired. We have room for you. You cannot leave us, sir. Please come in. And they constrained him, it says. I see pressure in that verb, don't you? They constrained him. I would interject this word. My Savior never forces himself on anybody.
My Savior never comes and forces himself into any life. My Lord acts on invitation, so does the Holy Spirit. They act on invitation. And if you don't open your home and open your heart to him, he'll never come in. He's not going to come in and say, this is my house as well as yours. I'm going to come in whether you like it or not. Never, never, never. And the reason why you're confused this morning and your house is empty is because you've never acknowledged your emptiness and your need and your ignorance and opened the door and said, come in, Lord, take over. And when they opened their home to the Lord, that night that stranger came in with them. He accepted their invitation. Cleopas' wife hurried around and got something on the table. They were tired. They were hungry. But somehow they were accelerated. They were excited. Something had happened on the road. And they got the food ready and they put the food on the table. And this stranger took his place at the head of the table. Why? And he broke the bread. That was the role of the host, Cleopas. But here this person sat down and he took bread and he broke it and he distributed it to them. And he served the meal. And as he did so, they looked and they saw his hands. They saw nail prints. He vanished out of their sight and he was gone. Gone. Cleopas looked at his wife and said, whatever has happened? Is this for real? Is this for real, Cleopas? They said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? When he opened to us the scriptures, didn't our hearts suffer a kind of a heartburn? Our hearts were glowing, and our heads were saying, I don't quite understand, but our hearts were saying, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is true. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And that couple, my friends, electrified. All their confusion gone in an instant. They said, this is Jesus. The women were right. He's back from the dead. He's alive again. And he loves us. He loves us. And he's got an interest in us. And you know what they did? I know what I'd have done. I'd have said, honey, it's pretty late. Let's go to bed. We're awfully tired. Your feet must be heavy. That's a 7-mile walk. I'd like to take that after a long day in Jerusalem. 7 miles. Let's go to bed. Let's get our feet in some warm water first. We sleep better. They didn't do that at all. I don't know if it was Cleopas or his wife who made the suggestion, but they said, we've got to go back to Jerusalem. We've got to go back. Back. All that distance, yes, we'll never sleep anyway. He's alive again. We've got to go back. And it says they rose up the same hour of the night. Have I got it right? I think that's what it says. And their eyes were open, verse 31 of our chapter. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour. And they rose up, verse 33 of Luke 24, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. My dear friends, they had lead in their boots when they were coming out, but they had wings on their boots when they went back. Am I right? They had lead in their boots when they were going out to Emmaus. They had wings when they went back. All their tiredness left them. And they said, we've got to get back and spread the good news. To whom? To our friends. What friends? Our brothers and sisters who are holed up. Is that right? Our brothers and sisters who are in hiding. They've gone underground. We know where they are. We'll find them. Let's go. And they, friends, the same hour of the night, they return to Jerusalem.
and covered the same ground. And I believe, friends, they may have run.
I don't know.
They returned the same hour of the night, and they found the apostles and all the other believers gathered together in that large upper room. They went up the stairs, running, pounded at the doors, and they said, "Brothers and sisters, guess what? Jesus is alive. He's not on a cross anymore. He's not in a grave anymore. He's alive."
"Alive? What are you talking about? You're nuts. You're crazy."
"No, we saw him. We walked with him tonight for 7 miles, and he gave us the greatest Bible reading that we ever had in our life. Let's sit down, and we'll tell you what he told us. He opened up the scriptures, and he found in all those scriptures that we've read about our people and the ordinances and the Day of Atonement and all these sacrifices, they all found their fulfillment in him 3 days ago. This is the third day. This is Easter Sunday night. And all the prophecies have been fulfilled. He's alive again. And he loves us. And he took time out to explain to us, Christian friends, this morning, this is the Jesus I offer to you. This is the Jesus that I know and love. Is he your Savior? Have you opened your heart, your door, the door of your life to him? You may be here this morning and you're so confused, you don't know which end is up. Everything seems to be just a cascade of problems that have come in upon you, and you can't solve this and you can't understand that. I just want to say, my friends, you don't have to understand it all. You just have to trust the one who does understand it all and has all the answers. And to commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. The Lord Jesus found in the scriptures himself. So Jesus Christ our Lord lives in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is here to explain the scriptures to us and set our hearts to dancing and our feet to running.
Why did those two hurry back and recover the whole journey back again?
Why did they do that?
The Lord never told them to do it.
The Lord never said, "Now you fellows get going and get back to Jerusalem as fast as you can and spread the good news." The Lord never told them that at all.
They did it voluntarily. It was the expulsive power of a new affection. Their hearts were overflowing and their lips were overflowing, and they just couldn't contain the good news. My friends, until that happens to you and me, and we get out, not because we're under pressure, because the pastor or some committee is putting the pressure on us, God help us, but out of an overflowing heart, to get out and just tell them that Christ lives and Christ loves. He has all the answers. He wants us to trust him, and he'll bring the whole program to absolute consummation and fulfillment.
"He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ."
You say, "Yeah, but I'm such a mess. I'm like a yo-yo. I'm up and down and in and out, and I don't know where I am," and so on. He knows all that. My friends, I want to say this, that he's taken you up, and he knew all about your failures and your idiosyncrasies before he ever saved you. He knew all about them ahead of time. And yet, my friends, he picked us up, and he's not going to be satisfied until he has us in the Father's house. That's the meaning of the cross. He is the Lamb. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who died for you and rose again. Now, as the ascended Christ, he offers salvation, full, free, and eternal to the sinner who will acknowledge his bankruptcy and say, "I have sinned." The Lord never saves anyone on just a kind of a flippant, "Yeah, I'll accept you." That's not repentance. There has to be a sense of need. "Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm a mess. Father, I've sinned. The prodigal son would never have come back from the pig pen if the father had sent care packages down to him, help him out down there. He'd have stayed there. It was when he came to the end of himself, and he'd run out of gas. He had nothing to eat, and he had an empty belly, and he had no clothes. But he went back to his father, and he said, Father, I have sinned before heaven in thy sight. That's repentance. And until there's that acknowledgement, honest acknowledgement and declaration of bankruptcy, you'll never be saved. Father, I need you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just a little word of prayer or something like that. It's calling upon him in desperation. Lord, I need you. And you and I who uttered that cry when we first came to Christ need to repeating it. Lord, I need you in my life to be Lord of my life. Jesus drew near and went with them. He wants to draw near to you this morning and bless you. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Is there someone here before I pray who would like to make Jesus Lord of his or her life this morning? Just put up your hand and take it down again. Will you do that? I would like to make him Lord of my life. I would like to invite him into my heart. I know there are many Christians here this morning that would like to just say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. Self has been on the throne of my life for quite a long time. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to obey you and come under your authority. Now, Lord, you know every heart here this morning. So often we get like Cleopas and his wife, confused. Lord Jesus, how desperately we need you to guide us and explain things and open our hearts. Oh, we thank you, praise you for the reality of yourself. Bless those people who come out this Sunday morning. Glorify thy name in their lives.